Well, that's good. We need a little bit extra time. Those listening on recording now, we are live. So what we do is moot court. I'm going to break you all into four groups, okay? And I'm going to give each of you what in law school we call a vehicle, but it's a problem to solve. And then we're going to discuss it. It's going to cover a lot of what we discussed this past year. So I'm thinking about how I'm going to do this. We've got plenty of these. Okay, this side here is going to be group one, and you are going to get case number one. I'll read through them all for everybody's entertainment value. If you want to kind of gather together, do whatever you need to do. I will split this side right here, and you will all be number two. I didn't want to give this to you yet. So you guys are going to have case number two. And then where are we going to get some late arrivals? Oh, I see Ray here. I know which one I want to give him. So from here back, you guys are going to be number three. Yeah. Oh, can you pass those around? And from here back, you guys are going to be four. Yep, I'm going to read them for you.
What do you mean, what do you mean here back?
You're with the folks behind you, okay, and with Grace Appleton and anybody else that shows up. And with Dawn. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read these vehicles, and then I want you all to participate in the discussion. And oh, Ray, you got case number four. Perfect. I was hoping you would get it. Here we go. Case number one. There's a couple typos in here. I'm sorry. These were in my brain all week, but I had to type them up real quick. Case number one. In his initial response to COVID-19, the governor of the state of New Cuomo in USA has issued several orders, including a ban on all in-person gatherings, including churches and schools, inside and outside, and shutting down all restaurants and other non-essential services. He has ordered universal masking for all persons over two, outside and inside. Won't back down, Christian Church. One, files a lawsuit challenging the governor's order based on First Amendment grounds. That should be grounds, not rules. And continues to conduct services indoors without masks. The New Cuomo police observe a gathering on Sunday at the church and begin to gather in the parking lot. Several church members observe this and gather at the door with their legal sidearms. The police arrive at the door and order that the doors be opened. The church members refuse and brandish their guns. The police, now in full riot gear, storm the church. The church members quickly drop their weapons. The police initially target the pastor, drawing their tasers. Several church members proceed to attempt to physically stop the police by tackling the officers attempting to detain the pastor. Each member of the church is arrested. The church members with guns and those that interfere with the police were all charged with major felonies. The pastor was also charged with a less serious felony of inciting a riot. All the other members were charged with misdemeanors for unlawful assembly and for not wearing a mask. This matter is quickly forwarded to the New Cuomo Supreme Court. The church claims that the governor's orders regarding the closure of the church violate the First Amendment, that the governor's orders regarding mask wearing violate the First Amendment, that they had justification to attempt to stop the police from entering and from arresting the pastor. Questions for court number one. What should the church's Were the church's positions correct from a biblical perspective? How do you, the New Cuomo Supreme Court, decide on the church's lawsuit and the criminal charges? Case number two. In the state of West Eden, USA, I'm No Kin to a Monkey Christian School has a doctrinal statement whereby they hold that the Bible is true and inerrant and guides all their decisions. I'm No Kin to Aladdin School of Islam has a doctrinal statement whereby they hold that's not supposed to say Bible, that's supposed to say the Quran, sorry, that the Quran is true and inherent and guides all their decisions. 2x2 School of the Church of Latter-day Saints has a doctrinal statement whereby they hold that the Bible and the Book of Mormon are true and inherent and guides all their decision. We Is Racist Christian School has a doctrinal statement that takes selective passages from the Bible, grossly misinterprets the same, and will only admit white students. James Thompson applies to be a teacher at all four schools. James is a black male, professing Christian, and graduate of the Woke Bible College. James believes in the Trinity and that God used the Big Bang Theory to begin creation of the universe 4 billion years ago. James applies to all four schools and is rejected based on each's religious beliefs. James sues all four schools for religious and racial discrimination. West Eden's legislator passes a statute that states that direct financial support can be provided to private religious schools. Each school files a lawsuit that claiming that the other schools should not receive funds because of their heretical beliefs. Biblically, what should I'm no kin to a monkey's position be on these issues? Because they're the ones that would be as close to our beliefs as we can be. How do you, the Supreme Court of West Eden, decide James's lawsuit and the other school's suits against each other? Case three. The state of Go Woke, Go Broke has passed a statute which states that discrimination based on LGBT status is illegal and all accommodations must be given and that religion may not be used as a defense to discrimination. Truth Matters Christian Church holds that the Bible is true, inerrant, and guides all their beliefs. The church is very large and hosts multiple events for the homeless, Bible schools, etc. The church hires Adriana Smith, single XX chromosome, to run its kitchen and custodial operations. Adriana is private about her private life, but it's generally known that she dates men. A year into Adriana's employment, she begins to dress in a more manly way, jeans, flannel shirts, and asks to be called Adrienne. The church eventually hears that Adriana has told her friends that she is going to start identifying as a male, but will not be having any surgeries, and that Adrienne plans on dating males, continuing to date males. She is soon seen openly dating a bisexual XY male. The church terminates her employment. Adriana sues. The publicity of the lawsuit brings the ire of the Go Woke senator, who investigates and finds that the church still has only male and female restrooms. The state then sues the church to guarantee restroom access to all who enter the church. Questions: what should the church give? What reasons should the church give for its decisions? How do you, the Supreme Court of Go Woke or Go Broke, decide both lawsuits? Case four. The state of Progressive is not just a car insurance company, passes legislation that orders those deemed to be responsible, that's supposed to be for slavery in there, by a panel of experts to pay reparations to the African American community, paid in the form of donations to nonprofits, NAACP, AACF, etc. The experts determined that the Southern Baptist Church actively supported slavery for over a century, and the state orders that the Southern Baptist Convention pay $100,000 into the reparations fund. The SBC sues the state to prevent this payment. One of the recipients of the reparations is a nonprofit that will pay the full tuition for a black student only at any college or graduate school. Michael James, a black student, is selected to receive a full tuition to a school of his choice. Tower of Babel Theological Seminary regularly accepts students that have their tuition paid for by nonprofits. Michael James applies to Tower of Babel. However, his application is rejected as the school decides that they will not accept students that are funded by a scholarship that discriminates based on race. Michael sues Tower of Babel. Questions: should the Southern Baptist Convention have sued to stop this payment? Is Tower of Babel's position biblical? And what do you, the Supreme Court of Progressive, rule on these issues? All right, so you're going to have about 8 minutes to talk amongst yourselves, point a spokesperson, and then we're going to go through all four cases. So discuss. That you've been given 10 minutes whenever the Supreme Court gets 10 months. But we are where we are. All right. The Supreme Court of the state of New Cuomo. Who is your spokesperson?
Test.
You're good.
Okay.
This was done very constitutionally. The first 3 minutes of our 8 minutes were determined that I would speak.
So
I came
when you
in,
say,
came in late. I still haven't read the whole case. So okay. I really feel like I'm a legislator prepared to vote on legislation.
All right,
so
I'll help you out. The church's actions of filing a lawsuit and taking a position on the gatherings and the mask, were they biblical and constitutional? And then the church's actions of interfering with the police, were they biblical and or constitutional?
Yeah. I don't think we ever got to the police part.
That's fine.
But we did discuss the two elements of utilizing masks and gathering, period. The first thing that we made really clear is that the church has every right to take this to the Supreme Court and file a lawsuit. That's a legal remedy that's available to it. Whether we agree with the positions of any individual, they have a right to seek legal remedy if they feel that their ability to carry out their mission has been hampered in some way. So that's the first part. So they're perfectly legit to do that. We really didn't get to get in any depth on, I mean, my gosh, we're talking about Romans 13 versus any number of examples of situations where the people were commanded to gather under specific circumstances. One was mentioned as it relates to not worshiping the emperor. I think if we had more time to discuss that, we'd say that this doesn't quite fall under that realm of they've been asked to worship the emperor. They've just been asked not to gather. And we assume it's for the sake of the health of others or, you know, the avoiding the spread through a large area.
Did you all distinguish at all the difference between the order of not gathering versus the order of wearing masks?
Because as acknowledged it existed. and about that time, you said time's up. So we were. I don't want to say it was the decision. It was the agreement that you made with the Taliban that caused us all the problems. But it kind of is that you gave us only 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That was
no, I understand. There's no other way to do it. So, sorry.
So cue the laugh card. All right.
What I'd like just to add to clarifying. If you recall back in June, we studied this. And, well, lo and behold, it's popping up again on the news. Masks are back, right? Is we learned two things. First of all, we learned that it is absolutely unconstitutional to prohibit a church from gathering. Black letter law now. You cannot do it. Under no situation can you ban a church from gathering. The level of restrictions on the gathering kind of are going to vary a little bit from state to state, but the Supreme Court this year said absolute bans on church gatherings are not permitted. The Supreme Court didn't say, but you have a lot of local courts saying that health departments have a lot of push on masks, is what we're seeing now. But the mask, of course, we learned, mandates are directed to individual people. So whether or not mask mandates violate the First Amendment hasn't been decided yet. That's why whether or not that violates your freedom of religion hasn't been decided yet. That issue, obviously, might come back up again. Unfortunately, the news is as tumultuous as ever with Afghanistan, hurricane, and now masks are back.
So, Dean, I would just throw out that the individual element of mask wearing, the question becomes enforcement in many cases. If the church is being asked to enforce that, then the church has a right to bring that challenge, I would think, a legal challenge about that, saying we're not here to be enforcing your state laws.
Right.
And I think that becomes the debate for the church. But
that's the great point there is they made the mask mandates. They put pressure on restaurants to make the people wear masks when they weren't eating. But churches, like I said, it's always directed to an individual, and that's a point there. If a government tries to get a church to restrict access to its doors based on people wearing masks. It's like, don't let anybody in your door without wearing a mask. That's the same kind of constitutional violation. So it kind of circles back in on itself that if you're not going to let me worship without a mask, then you're not letting me worship, then it's a ban on worshiping because my religious belief says I don't have to wear a mask. So I wanted to make sure we brought that up because of how tumultuous it is. Real quick, the police are hauling away the pastor. I saw, we saw videos in the early last year of pastors being arrested. I saw several videos of people being arrested at school board meetings this week for not wearing masks. Someone comes to arrest Ray for not wearing a mask. What are we going to do?
Let him take him.
Let him take him. Sorry, Ray.
I think we all go
with him. All go with him. I like that.
I didn't say that.
arrest me also.
Right. And that's another subject for another class if, you know, God forbid, or well, actually God allow, that in the future he's being arrested for preaching the gospel. And we know where they're going to take him. And it's not going to be a good place. And do we interfere then? He's going to go get spend a night in jail and pay a $500 fine. We'll pay that for him. But what if he's going to be good and taken someplace and not come back? Then do we interfere? Things to start thinking about in today's world. Who knows? All right, case two. You've got four Christian schools and one teacher.
All right, so... All
right, Ron's the spokesperson. Okay, so... Yes. Talk to me, first of all, let's just talk about, we'll take whatever order you want in. It's fine.
All right. I think I'm going to represent everything we said because it was definitely a rapid fire conversation. So if I get anything mixed up that we talked about, please step in, guys. And, but basically looked at the fact four different schools who hold to their particular text, the Christian school in terms of the books, or in terms of the Bible, that it is God's word and it's inerrant and this is what we're going to follow. The Islamic school for the Quran, you know, the Book of Mormon for the Mormon school, and then the racist school, though misinterpreting it, they're standing on that as their quote unquote religious conviction. James Thompson, black male, graduating from Woke Bible College. So he has this particular view that's not a creationist view, but he claims to have a Trinitarian view. And so each school, obviously, he has points that...
He violates...
That, right.
In unique ways, he violates all four of them.
Right. And so obviously we saw that the state is giving financial support. So... As far as the lawsuits filed from the different schools to not give funding based on heretical beliefs, I think we came to the basic decision that the schools are private schools and they have, whether we agree with it or not, they're going to be able to stand on what they would, you know, claim is true.
So in that case there with the schools, you know, and we read some Supreme Court cases on that where things are starting to change, where money might start flowing a little bit more freely to religious schools. I mean, that has to also mean schools that teach Islam and schools that teach Mormonism.
Right.
Things that we have severe doctrinal, I mean, we're not in the same hemisphere doctrinally. Are we okay with that as Christians, and do you think the court should get involved in that sort of thing?
And obviously the reality that as Christians, doctrinally, we're gonna stand on what we're gonna stand on in the Word of God and the Bible. We're gonna denounce that which the Quran says or the Book of Mormon. But from a legal standpoint of money coming in for us to come with the perspective of, don't do this because this is heretical, they could come back with a countersuit saying you're gonna have to view the, you know, the Christian school is being heretical because that violates our beliefs. And so there's, in terms of the money issue, there's really doesn't seem to be a lot of grounds to fight based on doctrinal issues. And as far as the lawsuit that James Thompson brings on the four schools, it would seem that the schools, especially the racist school, though grossly misinterpreting the Bible, obviously, are within their rights as private organizations, though receiving state funds, it says that they're still private organizations. Mm-hmm. So as wrong as that one is, it doesn't seem that there would be anything outside of what they're allowed to do. And so they're allowed to, on the basis of whatever reason they want legally, to do what they want with.
So are we okay as a church, and you know, as a church that, you know, we house a Christian school and we're associated with religious organizations, are we okay, and maybe we have to be okay, unfortunately, with those churches, schools practicing racism in the name of Christianity? I mean, because you say, yes, they cannot hire him only because he's black, that becomes, you know, obviously kind of tricky, from a visual perspective, because they're not going to know. They're not actually called We as Racist Christian School. They're just something Christian school, like those idiots in Kansas are called. They're something Baptist Church, I think Westboro. So that's the trick here, is whenever we fight for that. Oh, my wife's telling you something.
Well, that is a good point. She just brought up the point that, you know, could the suit go a different way, that, you know, if a white student wasn't accepted on the basis of them being white. And so obviously this could get into the issue of racial discrimination, hate crimes, and so forth. And obviously we only had, 8 minutes to really kind of discuss the issue, because you're getting into the issue of, from a biblical perspective, that kind of discrimination is wrong, it's sinful. And we're all one race, one blood under, you know, born in Adam and in Christ, if we're Christians. Whereas then this is dealing with the legal issue of whether or not a private institution, as a private institution, is within their rights technically to do with what they want. And so I think that's the challenge there, because, again, if they're going to come with, well, you know, the issue of discrimination, you're getting into other aspects of discrimination as well, because he's not a creationist, and, you know, he believes in an old earth and the Christian school. If they're holding consistently,
they're young earth, right?
Right.
So that's interesting there. It's like James might otherwise be qualified, but the only reason that, and you have to really kind of draw these lines, is we're not going to hire you because you take a different view on, I mean, I don't think it's controversial, but it's becoming more controversial, or young earth versus old earth. We take the literal view, this school does, literal 24/7 view. They take old age, but you have to, and while it seems like kind of crazy, like, oh, you're really not going to hire him because of that? Like, yeah, we're really not going to hire him because of that, because you have to dig in on these areas that seem small, because who knows what's coming next. The only problem comes in is you're not hiring him for a very, you know, if you've explained it to somebody maybe on the street, they might roll their eyes and say, really? Does it matter how old the earth is? Like, yeah, it does. But then you get down to the racist Christian school, and you kind of, unfortunately, sometimes we get thrown in that same pot. And that's where it becomes difficult nowadays for Christians in general to take positions where, you know, they're not necessarily based on race, but you might get kind of thrown into the pot otherwise. Everybody okay with the Islamic school not hiring him? And everyone, no problems with that? Yep, he's a Christian, believes in the Trinity. That's going to knock him out of Islam rather quickly. Same with the Book of Mormon. He believes in the Mormons. He believes in the Trinity. Okay. So James is kind of maybe a little bit out of luck here. He's going to have to find, I don't know, some other Christian school that will not be racist and have a little bit more loose doctrine. But this is the thing. As a court, what do you do? What should the court do? Does all four cases get dismissed?
What all the liberals were really angry about is the fact that we kept winning. The precedent has been set that, yeah, we kind of do win, I guess, in that sense.
Right.
So
exactly. And this is the weird part about it, is where a liberal black Christian school teacher is going to lose all four times, most likely. I mean, feel bad for you. I mean, you could go to Montour. I'm sure they'd hire him tomorrow. Yeah. So, but that's where you get into the point where we start winning, it starts to look a little bit different, and maybe from a public perception, we have to fight that. Go ahead.
And I don't mean to backtrack a little bit, but something that you talked about, I was looking at one point into like vaccines and like what is the religious exception or exemption for that. And one of the things that it said was pretty much just like a sincerely held belief.
Mm-hmm. That's the standard.
And so you're talking about like how mundane is that little intricacy of new earth versus old earth. And it could be like literally anything. It could be as trivial as we make it out to be, but as long as it's a sincerely held belief and you can prove that out, it sounds like it doesn't matter.
Start completely. The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster in your basement and create a creed, and as long as you believe it and it's not fake, and you're actually believing it and practicing it. And like I said, as long as you're not, you don't want to work Saturday and you suddenly convert to Judaism because you want to watch a football game. That's not sincere. Okay, let's go case three. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, we have time. Right. Art was making the point that you have to practice your actual beliefs. All right, case three. We have Adrienne, who becomes Adrienne. Yes, Ray.
Sorry, I just wanted to say on this case before you move on.
Yes, please.
Forefathers got right, that we want to have, right? We don't want the state to be the church. We don't want the state to tell us, I don't want the state to enshrine my beliefs so that now the state, the governor, the president, the Congress is going to determine what is the right form of Christianity. We want them to protect our rights, but that means I want them to protect the Muslims' rights and the Mormons' rights and to stay out of it. And I think that our forefathers got that right. The only alternative, it seems to me, is to go back to a situation like in Europe where the particular ruler determined the faith of the state. And if you were Protestant in a Catholic state, you either had to move out or you had to convert. And I don't think anybody wants to go back to that. But, looking at this, I'm glad to say the Muslim school has the right to teach the Quran as long as it doesn't violate human rights. I would make a against human case for some forms of Islam, but we do have that freedom of religion, and the state is not that. And I also want to say that I have to go because I have a meeting at 10. I'm not ducking you, or the fourth case.
All right. Well, let's go right to case. But, who's your spokesperson? Who's your spokesperson besides you? Because we'll go to.
I don't know if we chose one. I told them I have to leave at 10 because I have a meeting to pray with the Schaffners about the baptism.
Okay. Well, you want 2 minutes to comment on case number four?
I'll give it to you real quick. Yes, I do think that I don't know the law as far as what's the best way for the SBC to stand up for their rights. Is it to just refuse to pay or is it to sue? I don't know, but I think clearly they don't pay. It's wrong to pay and they fight it. Whatever would be the best way, I don't know. The second one, I would say, yes, their position is biblical. Biblically, it's unjust to discriminate based on something that's not a legitimate reason. So, for example, if there is there may be a time where you would favor a particular group, but then that would be because there's a legitimate reason. So, for example, in Acts chapter 6, the Hebrew widows were being neglected, so they took a step to focus on the Hebrew widows, but not to give them special privileges, to make sure they got the same as everybody else. And there are a lot of examples like that, the Gileadites and others. So we never want to say, well, you have a certain skin color, so you get special privileges. I think that the tower's position at that point would be biblical. I have no idea how the Supreme Court would rule on you. I would hope the first one, they would certainly not enforce reparations until that actually happens. I would think they would side with that. The second one, I don't know. They may come down in a kind of critical race thing that you have to support certain races over others.
So the reason this was interesting, and I kind of just thought it up in my head, is that the Tower of Babel, the school, the theological seminary, isn't actually, they're not the ones that are making, aren't discriminating necessarily. They're not the ones, like, they're funding the scholarship. This is a third-party scholarship. And Michael shows up at the door and says, I'd like to be admitted. And they were like, oh, absolutely. You know, we admit people based on all race. The fact that he's black is not going to prevent his admission. Like, how are you going to pay? Like, oh, well, the reparations fund is paying for me. They're like, well, who gets money from the reparations fund? Well, only black people do. So is that a little bit of nuance there? Does that make the Tower of Babel's position a little less, kind of maybe a little bit shaky? They were going to admit him otherwise until they found out that the money could only go. So that's why I make sure we understand here. Go ahead. We got 30 seconds.
I'm just going to hand the mic off.
Go. Dave, you got something? There, he's handing it to you.
I don't know if I speak for the group. I probably don't, so this could be real short.
Okay, go ahead.
As far as the Southern Baptist Convention stopping the payment, I think that's a no-brainer. I think, of course, they should stop. You know, they should sue to stop this payment. I think I could give you biblical grounds for that, and I think we all would pretty much be on the same page. The Tower of Babel's position, is it biblical? Now, I think it would be consistent with a biblical view, but we venture into areas that can become very gray very quickly when we start to make some of these calls and say it's absolutely biblical. We do, but we're called to be discerning and wise. And I think one of the things here is to say that, look, if we go along with this and accept this money, we've set a precedent, and we're encouraging this behavior for other schools, other people, other times. So, but I'm not sure I speak for anybody.
Someone from West, the Chief Justice from West Eden had something he wanted to say.
It was just on the point of who do you give this sort of budget for reparations money, who's it go to? I think it's largely going to come down to how you're limiting the scope of when you're talking about whose ancestors were slaves or.
Well, the experts have made that determination. And Michael qualifies.
Well, you can argue about, for example, the barter slave trade that happened in North Africa in the 1600s, the chattel enslavement of white European Christians. You can deal with Native Americans who enslaved black people on the shores, or you can deal with the, I think, 4,000 black slave owners back in 1865 in the South who enslaved black people. And so you could potentially play to make a case to say there's a wider of slavery, even just within the U.S., apart from white slave owners. So again, yeah, they're going to really make their deals in to say, you know, it's only black people who get reparations of black slaves and white slave owners. Sure, but I think you have a case of press to say there's a reason to say historically that then could be expanded out beyond just this one particular group.
Right. And that would be a good challenge. I personally think this is one where the Tower of Babel might lose. It's like I said, it's odd. They're not, they admit folks of all races, but you're going to have to, if they had a religious belief like we as racist Christian school that said we don't admit blacks, they would be okay. But they don't. They admit all races. So you're going to then have to come up with a new religious belief that says, a sincerely held religious belief, to Justice's point, that we're not going to accept money that came, that was collected, reparations that were collected only for African Americans. So that's where this kind of twists your brain, and this is why I think it's something that might happen in the future. Justin. Oh, I'm sure you could say, yeah, you're welcome to come here, Michael, but you can't, your tuition payment can't come from the AACF or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, this seems similar to Rose City College. They don't accept state funds. So my son got a full ROTC scholarship and wanted to go to Rose City, but they don't accept state money.
Right, and they do that to protect themselves.
Right.
Right. So
similar?
No, because this is money coming from the African American College Fund, maybe. And this school won't, it's nothing to do, the state may have forced people to pay into the AACF, but the school only people, it's going over here to Dawn next. Only those that from a certain race can get that money. So this is where, you know, you have to figure out, Grove City does that so they don't have to worry about what people challenging their religious beliefs. But in this case, you're not admitting a student because of where he's receiving money. So something to think about in the reparations. Who's our spokesperson for Adriana becoming Adrian right under everybody's noses? What is the church and the court going to do with this young lady?
Well, like Ray was saying, we don't want if I'm speaking as a church, we don't want the state infringing on our beliefs, telling us what we can and can't believe. So the church absolutely has a right to, if they see fit, this is something that they believe sincerely, and that's why they let this Adriana go. They fired her. But then the law that talks about, you know, all accommodations must be given, religion may not be used as defense to discrimination. I think the Supreme Court should look at that as maybe unconstitutional because that's infringing on, again, the church's.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to pretend you're the lawyer and you're for the church, and I'm asking you, what religious doctrine did Adrian violate? Why did you fire her?
Good question.
All right, good. What's the seventh commandment, Don? Okay, well, I'm not saying that we're not going to get into that. She's dating. It's crazy. We have an XX dating an XY.
Well, I understand that, but you know that could be a category of all sexual sin, all sexual perversion.
Well, assuming they're not living together, they're just dating and.
Well, all right, but if they're dating, then they're probably attending at some point on that.
Okay, well, we're not going to assume that they fire her soul, not because. Where this isn't a situation, like I said, I had a case once where a Christian school fired a teacher because she was moved in with her boyfriend. That's not it. This is, the church is saying because she now wants to be called Adrienne, not Adriana, took an avow off her name.
It's a lie. It was violating the Ninth Commandment, too.
Now she's not having any surgeries. She's just going to dress like a man.
Well, all right, but that violates Scripture because it says...
Can you take the mic?
That violates Scripture because it says that, you know, a man shall not dress as a woman or vice versa. It's taking on the role of the other sex.
So the reason I brought this up, because I made it very, very nuanced and very, very kind of a thin line, is because this isn't some easy one where you suddenly have a guy moving in with another guy or someone fully transitioning or something like that. You're getting this kind of more nuanced area where, you know, and this, I would argue, is much more common than the extreme examples we see on YouTube and whatnot, and they try to hold out as examples, is the church going to be able to come up with a good faith, sincerely held religious belief? Again, assuming there's no extramarital...
Well, we have the Westminster Larger Catechism, which is very comprehensive on that whole subject.
What subject is that?
Well, the Seventh Commandment.
Like gender identity, or?
Well, it includes gender identity. I think been a while since I've read.
Well, see, that's the point I'm saying. Is like there's, I don't think there's any way that those that drafted the Westminster Confession of Faith could have comprehended anything like this. We got the two Dennys for the comment. Got Denny.
I would submit that the church did not have Adriana come before the session or whatever. It was hearsay. They heard that she was doing these.
Okay, well, assume it's like, hey, are you? You know, well, first of all, we noticed that you're starting to dress more masculine, and you've asked to take a vow off your name. Yes. And you're dating somebody that is, we're not sure what gender is. And, oh, he's a Y chromosome and I'm an X chromosome.
Well, my point is, it was hearsay initially.
Okay, so assuming that it's admitted fact.
I think it's too nuanced at this point.
Mm-hmm. But it's coming. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, for the church, isn't her profession of faith the important thing?
Oh, see, she still professes faith. But she always has. There's a lot of gay Christians out there. I'm not saying you can't just profess faith is a kind of a thin line, too, because their faith, they'll say, well, I believe in Jesus and all that. And like, well, back to Don's point, well, we think what you're doing might violate the seventh commandment consistently, so that's a problem. Denny, did you have something you want to say?
I would disagree a little bit with Don, because if they start pushing this idea that man or woman can't dress like a man, maybe a woman, we'd have to eliminate a lot of women from our church who are wearing some stuff. I mean, my mother is 50 before she wear it.
Right. Denny made the point that you're going to get maybe in a slippery slope if you start making gender identity based on how somebody dresses, because that's going to get kind of tricky. I think that, the church probably knew what was going on here. But Ms. Yes. What Christian principles? She's not going to change her body.
She's not going to change her body, but God created men and women to fulfill those roles, and she's stated that she's going to begin acting like a male.
Acting like a male.
And that is her point, is to violate those gender lines. And even in public school, we have on the books of these laws that say that if a teacher who has been there for 5 million years violates community standards, now those community standards in the world tend to change with time, but biblical standards do not. So it would seem like you would be within your rights to dismiss her for violating the standards of the Christian community.
Right. And I think that was very well. Okay, Lisa, you're going to get possibly the last word. Boy,
I think this brings out the fact that just like in other times when we had doctrinal things that were challenged and that made us go deeper, like even Tulip, against the Arian belief or Arminianism. I think that we are finding in our day that the church needs to dig deeper to actually come up with a doxology of gender. In that we understand that gender just isn't about roles. It is about our bodies and how we are made. Man represents foundational Christ in his body, as well as a woman represents the church and her ability to be fruitful and be made fruitful as the church. We represent in our body the end of all things, where Christ will dwell within his bride. And I just think that as a church, we don't have a deeper, thick enough theology to help even us not be here about why this is a problem. Because in my mind, she's not accepting her vocation as a woman.
So Lisa's point there, and that's actually a great point to close on these LGBT issues, is, the church, like I said, 400 years ago, there's no way that 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, there's no way they could have anticipated something like this. And we don't really have we have the basic doctrinal statements about gender, but now I think people in the past thought it was assumed. Now we might actually have to put something down on paper. To Art's point about always having a doctrinal statement, that here's what we believe the role of a man is, this is historic, and it's been this way forever. But welcome to the 21st century. You know, we actually might have to, the schools, the churches say, okay, here's what we expect of a man, here's what we expect of a woman, and here's our biblical basis for it. So we are out of time. Happy to talk anytime. Most people know, have my number if you want to talk about what we talked about today. Talk about vaccines. It's still the most popular thing people talk to me about. Happy to talk to you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the freedom to have these discussions, Lord, and help us to have a blessed worship time. We ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.